Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Are we returning to a Cold War type relationship between Russia and the West? This past week, the UK government expelled some Russian diplomats and took the Russians to task over that shocking nerve gas attack on a former Soviet double agent and his daughter. Additionally, there have been US sanctions over Russian interference with the 2016 presidential election and claims Russian hackers attacked the US electricity grid and other infrastructure. So there's an election underway right now in Russia, as a matter of fact. They've got 11 time zones and polling has opened in the first of those time zones. Vladimir Putin will, of course, win that election. But do these overseas incidents simply add to his strongman image, or are there other factors at play? The use of a deadly nerve agent on British soil in the Salisbury attack, which also affected a police officer who responded to the incident, is certainly considered to be a very, very serious upping of stakes. This is the sort of nerve agent which even in war is banned. So the British response has been direct and robust, but short of going all the way just yet, they're still gathering evidence. And of course, the Kremlin, Moscow rather, has completely denied that they were involved. How often are nerve agents, methods like this, used in Cold War antics these days? Well, Professor Graham Gill from the University of Sydney is an expert in Soviet and post-Soviet Russia.
I would suspect that that these are not being used on a daily basis, at least in part because they must be so difficult to utilise. I mean, if what we have is the policeman in hospital as a result of what appears to be perhaps a marginal contact with it, the person seeking to use it must be in incredible danger. So I wouldn't have thought that these things were being used on a wide basis at all.
No. How serious then is it that this has occurred on someone else's soil? Of course, that's the issue the UN Security Council has been focusing on.
Well, if this is something that has been done by the Russian state, and at this stage, I mean, despite what Theresa May says, she hasn't produced the evidence that it is. But if we assume that it is something done by another state, it is clearly a major issue. Now, the question is it worse using something like this than for an agent to simply go up with a gun and shoot somebody? Well, the answer is probably that, yes, it is worse in the sense that this is likely to have, or potentially can have, far more collateral effects. So it's a larger issue domestically in the UK, but the principle here, or there are two principles here that need to, in a sense, be kept apart. One is a state acting on another one's soil in a way that is illegal.
Yeah.
And the second one is the use of this sort of agent.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, just on the first, my mind immediately goes back to the Rainbow Warrior. And I still think it's extraordinary that France and New Zealand are still friends after what occurred there. There's a bombing of a ship, for goodness sake, in plain sight by French agents.
Yeah, well, I mean, this sort of thing is I suspect a lot less uncommon than we think, which is sort of an odd way of saying it. So it's a lot more common than we think, in the sense that it's not so much major events like the bombing of the Rainbow Warrior or this sort of thing, but this is what intelligence services from the year dot have always done. They've carried out these sorts of activities. It might be some sort of sabotage of some infrastructure somewhere, you know, electricity infrastructure or something like that, which simply appears as a malfunction.
Yes, and the United States is now saying that they're aware of, or they've claimed, major attacks on the US commerce system, not only, as well as, of course, interference in the election. So I suppose there's a question, as more of these come to mind, there's a question there about, are we seeing an uptick in Cold War-like activity around the world?
One thing we are seeing is that the types of weapons being used is widening.
Right.
I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have had this discussion because this didn't seem to be happening. They used poison. After all, there was the classic case of the Bulgarian agent who was poisoned by the tip of the umbrella.
Yes.
Are we seeing more of it? I don't know whether we're seeing more of the sort of assassination of spies or not. But what we are clearly seeing, and we have been seeing for the last 10 or 15 years, is a sort of a slow ratcheting up of aggressive or assertive activity between the major powers, between the US and Europe on the one hand and Russia on the other. Europe to a lesser extent, because Europe is sort of a pretty strange beast. But but if you look at the relationship between the US and Russia since 1991, there's clearly been a significant deterioration in those relations.
Yeah. To what end? Is it to serve an agenda that Vladimir Putin has, or is there a bigger game even than that at stake?
Well, the problem, one of the problems, is that people see it in terms of Vladimir Putin, that Putin is the guy who's responsible for this. Now, Putin, being the president of the country, clearly carries significant responsibility for what the country does and what's been happening. But by personalising it in that way, it obscures the fact that Russia, as a major country itself, has particular interests which it will want to protect regardless of who is president.
Right.
And by demonising Putin and by personalising Putin, that tends to obscure that fact. So that, you know, people can say, well, you know, if Putin wasn't there and say Medvedev was there or somebody who was much nicer or much more pro-Western, Russia wouldn't have reacted the way in which it reacted to sort of the Ukrainian crisis and the attempt to get Ukraine into NATO and this sort of thing. Whereas, in fact, probably anybody who was in charge in Russia would have reacted negatively to that. Now, they might not have done exactly the same things, obviously, as Putin, but Russia's national interests remain more broadly consistent regardless of who's in power, and the Russian government is going to react to defend those when it believes them to be under attack.
Yes, well, I accept all of those things. You'd have to say that Putin himself, certainly not a puppet, and he does contribute rather a lot to his own legend, doesn't he?
Oh, he certainly does. He certainly does. I mean, you know, he's a legend in his own time, in a sense. But and clearly, he's not the sort of outgoing character that Yeltsin was, and therefore he doesn't react in ways that are designed to, in a sense, portray him in a different light or to win much sympathy in the West. But, you know, basically he doesn't really care about, I don't think about whether he gets much sympathy in the West. But that's where, if you did have a different person in charge, the atmospherics might be different. I don't think the geopolitics would be greatly different, but the atmospherics of it might be different.
Well, Professor Gill, thank you very much for being with us once more.
You're welcome.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.